We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's it been like to watch Preston kind of in this series?
I don't know why we sit him down, honestly. That guy has been unbelievable.
A Radio.com sports station. And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Caitlin Sharkey on the question, Fox 6, Chase Anderson the answer. I don't know why we sent Keston Hira down, honestly. We all said that, and now the Brewers have said it themselves. He had a tremendous series against the Atlanta Braves, where the Brewers beat the Braves yesterday 5-4 to win a series. Been a while since they've done that. In the series, Keston Hira, 8 of 11, had a home run, couple of doubles, a triples, 4 run, and 4 RBIs. Not too shabby for Keston Hira and the Brewers. They've got the Diamondbacks tonight, 8:40 the start time, so that should be fun. Also keeping an eye on the Open Championship. You call it the British. I call it the British. Everyone calls it the British except for the British. Shane Lowry in the lead right now, 4-under. Rory McIlroy got off to a brutal start. He was 5-under when we started the show today. He had a
quadruple bogey.
Rory McIlroy is still 5-over through 16. So why that's such a kind of anomaly is this is his home course. There's three people from Northern Ireland in the field. Graham McDowell, Darren Clark, Rory McIlroy. Apparently Brooks Koepka's caddy is from there too. So he's got an advantage too. But Rory was the favorite, the betting favorite to come into this thing because he knows this course and now he's struggling. So it's the second time, the Open's being played outside of England or Scotland and Northern Ireland. And for the first time since 71, it's the fourth and final major of the year because they have moved the calendar all around. So this is it. This is the last major, and Rory McIlroy, the favorite, is struggling. Jordan Spieth is 3-under through 6, and Koepka's 2-under through 7.
I'd like to see Spieth win this tournament, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think he needs a bounce back.
He really does. Like, remember when he was the hottest thing in golf? And that just shows how damn good golf is right now. Whereas, you know, years ago it was always Tiger, Phil, you know, and historically Jack. And now it's like, man, any of these guys can win these tournaments. I mean, Koepka, obviously, you know, the favorite in most of these majors. But forget about Spieth. Forget about Rory at times. And I just wasn't sold on him. You know, going back home, to tell you the truth, I just felt like that was a lot of pressure. Everybody's rooting for him. And, I mean, you could say there's pressure on you every major, but I had a feeling he was going to have a rough day.
So this will go again through the weekend. It starts bright and early, as it is clearly in Northern Ireland. So you get up at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, you have a coffee, and you can watch some golf. It should end around noon, maybe 1, 2 o'clock on Sunday, and we'll keep an eye on it as well, as it's live sports when we're on the air, which happens very rarely. Brewers were a day game yesterday. They win, of course, 5-4, so they win a series. And again, Chase Anderson asked about how good Keston Hira was.
What's it been like to watch Keston kind of in this series?
I don't know why we sit him down, honestly. That guy has been unbelievable.
My eyes went up when he said that. I'm standing next to Chase, and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that's...
Are you supposed to say that?
Yeah, he's not saying that I hate Craig Counsell, or right. He's not saying that I hate David Stearns, or I disagree with the pitching strategy. He's not saying something that's going to be, you know, top of the fold front page, but just to hear somebody say, even though he's saying it a complimentary way, it's just, yeah, why did they send him down again? Hira was good then, came back up, did struggle a little bit when he came back up, but now is completely... been right on board. Stat here on Keston Hira. This was sent to us from Paul Emig. Keston Hira now leads all MLB second basemen in every key advanced offensive statistic. only Yelich, Bellinger, Trout, and then there's three others in all of baseball have a better OPS than Keston Hira. This guy is playing at an elite level, and I think it's no longer time we call or refer to him as a prospect. He is the second baseman of the future. He is the second baseman of the now.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And we see guys get called up and get hot and then go into many slumps, and I just don't see it with him. Guy's a professional hitter. He just knows how to get on base. And, I mean, he's the real deal. He's the reason that you didn't flip him. And I mean, I know I always talk about flipping prospects and nothing's a sure thing and go out and get starting pitching and fix the bullpen, but I think they made the right decision, obviously, with Keston Hira. And those comments really didn't shock me. I mean, I guess kind of, but when you think about it, everybody was talking about team chemistry. Like, you can't send Keston down right now. It's going to mess up team chemistry. I don't know about that, but when you're not performing offensively and guys are struggling with the bat, Travis Shaw, Jesus Aguilar, sending down somebody that was raking at the time just didn't really make a whole lot of sense when you weren't getting a whole lot of offensive production from anybody else.
The Brewers didn't lose because they were sad that Keston got sent down.
Right.
But they maybe lost some games because they didn't have that bat in the lineup. And that was a time when they were not hitting very well. You've got some premier hitters on this baseball team. Very weird, the Brewers this year. They've had the five All-Stars. You've got guys that are performing very well, and we'll throw Keston Hira into that mix. So you've got six guys that have been consistently solid for you all year, and then the other 19 are just like struggling to maybe even stay on the roster at times. Yelich, Hira, these two guys, very good. Milwaukee, very lucky to have them. Both very complimentary of each other after the game yesterday.
He's got a really short swing, but it's more. I think it's more of just him being a really good hitter, and when really good hitters get locked in, they can rattle off a bunch in a row, and that was big for us. You know, he had a huge series, and I need to continue to do that. But yeah, he's really talented. I think he's starting to get acclimated to the big leagues and how they're going to attack him, and he's done a great job so far.
It's been 2 years since, you know, I've been able to play on the same field with him, going back to spring training, and it's just fun to watch him. You know, every time he's on the field, after at bat or and whatnot, something cool might happen. So you definitely want to, you know, watch and tune into that. And you know, as you can see today, I remember he was telling me earlier in the games, like, I don't think I've hit a ball in the air, you know, off Keuchel in my career. And I said, oh, it's going to be coming soon. And sure enough, you know, that bomb hit to the center field. So, you know, he's an amazing player, and it's fun to watch him, and not only that, and have him on our team as well.
That one, Keston Hira, Christian Yelich before that. And as I was in the locker room yesterday, you know, Christian Yelich is a superstar in the MLB right now.
Yeah.
He is in every commercial, locally and nationally. The Belly versus Yelly thing is very interesting. The NL MVP race. Christian Yelich is a guy that, you know, you don't know a lot about baseball. You live in a different market. You know now who Christian Yelich is. And as I was standing there in the throng of media, listening to what Christian Yelich had to say, I was thinking, you know, like when I sit in front of like Giannis, or when you're in front of Rodgers, you
right.
think, I'm in front of this guy. I mean, this is the guy.
LeBron James.
Yeah, this is the guy.
Yeah.
When the Warriors came to town and Kevin Durant's there. Wow. I mean, this is the guy. Yeah, they're just guys and stuff, but these are the guys we talk about all the time. This is the guy. So I got that with Yelich yesterday. And then you go over to Keston Hira, and I'm thinking, Hira's not at the place where Yelich is yet. But think of Yelich last year at this time. Oh, this is good. This guy's pretty good. This is a good trade. But he still wasn't as powerful as he is.
Right.
A year from now, I mean, Keston Hira could very well be this is the guy territory where Yelich is now.
Right. And it's crazy to think of it like that. Especially like you think of 2-3 years ago, like Yelich was a really good player and people were worried about his power. But I mean, you're just seeing it right away. And it's very rare. I mean, we see it a little bit more in Major League Baseball now. Like Bryce Harper came up and produced right away. Mike Trout, guys like Chris Bryant went from Rookie of the Year to MVP the next year. But it used to take a while. Like, guys wouldn't get called up until they were like 25, 26. And when rookies did perform like this, we were like, jeez. So I just can't even imagine what Keston Hira would do with a full season at Miller Park. I mean, he looks like an all-star right now.
Yeah, well, he was a Triple-A all-star.
Right. I mean, he just looks like the real deal.
Let's not.
And I feel like
that.
And I mean, not to get like too cliche, but I feel like it's only going to improve his performance, especially at the plate, when he's playing with a guy like Christian Yelich, who is, I mean, since the second half of the season, mainly last year, I've never seen anybody on a tear like this outside of Barry Bonds. I mean, Mike Trout, but what he's done, the numbers that he's putting up are just so ridiculous. And even Mike Moustakas this year, so I feel like just having those two guys and two veterans helps out here a lot.
When Keston Hiura was down in the minors again, after he came up, went back down, and before he came back up, we would talk to people, and some of you would say it, and I don't know why you would say it, if Stearns was paying you off or what. Oh, you can't bring him up yet. He strikes out too much.
He's not good in the field.
Yeah, you can't bring him up. That. Remember that time that he fell and then he didn't get up and he's playing second base? He's
terrible on the bags.
Think of anything that Keston Hiura needs to improve in your head. Think of anything that you don't like about his game that you think he needs to improve. You're going to send him down?
No.
Is that worth sending him down for?
No.
I mean, Keston Hiura is tremendous. And I think he will go on to have a great career. And I think that you could see the signs of him over the last couple of seasons. So that's why I have been all in with an asterisk for the last couple of years, because I'm all in for the Brewers. Trade anybody, I don't care. Just do not trade that guy in Keston Hiura, because there's nobody that you're going to find elsewhere like the guy you have now. So very excited to see how well he's been playing. Again, this guy only got drafted 2 years ago. I mean, you do not see rookies come up this quick. He only got drafted a couple of years ago. Even the Braun, Hart, Fielder, Weeks, those guys took a couple of years.
Yeah.
Keston Hiura is up, and he's producing at an all-star level. And next year, he should very well. I mean, you play like this, you'll have him as an all-star.
And if you've played the game of baseball, you understand how hard it is to hit. Like, there's nothing, in my opinion, it's the hardest sport on the planet to play. Figuring out pitching, especially at the major league level. Like, that was always the knock on bringing guys up, is figuring out major league pitching. And then when guys get tape on anybody, especially with analytics, we go in these clubhouses and there's video of everybody's at-bats, all four at-bats, boom, boom, boom. And, like, pitchers still haven't figured out Keston Hiura. There's really, he doesn't have a weakness right now. And I will take some blunders in the field and I'll take some errors and some growing pains if it equals a 300 hitter who's driving in runs on a consistent basis, because that's the toughest thing to do. There's nothing harder than hitting a baseball.
No, and then so even like yesterday, you think, well, they'll figure Hiura out. They'll figure him out. They haven't figured out Yelich. I mean, Yelich yesterday, he's battling with Keuchel, and Keuchel's throwing the sinker a little bit, and Yelich can't get over it. And then so the third at-bat, talks a little bit to Andy Haynes, and he comes up, and the third at-bat obviously went a lot better. He hit the home run.
You know, it's a tough lefty-lefty at-bat just because of that, and you know, you're just trying to find a way to you know, get that ball in the air, get it off you a little bit, and kind of just finally got one and was able to not miss it.
Had a caller earlier say that we should just take more time to appreciate who we have in Milwaukee as far as athletes, and then the state. Rogers, Giannis, Yelich, throw Hiura into that mix. We absolutely are doing that right now, and we should be doing that. It's a very, very nice collection of talent on the Brewers. That being said, they still might want to sell some of these guys. We'll talk to Andrew Wagner about that. Forbes.com, AP, he will join us next. Yeah, they've been winning. They won a series. But let's mat this thing out even just a year or two. Would the Brewers be better off playing for 2020? More on that coming up next on The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Brewers yesterday get the 5-4 win over the Braves. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Ryan Horvath. Chuck will be back on Monday. Does it feel like it's been a while since the Brewers have won a couple of games? Because it has been. The Brewers win consecutive games for the first time since winning three in a row back at the end of June. Okay? And this is the first time the Brewers have won a series over a team other than Pittsburgh since they won the series against the Phillies in the middle of May. So series wins have been few and far between for the Brewers. Wins consecutively have been few and far between. Wins in general. The Brewers right now, though, sit 50 and 47. So these 2.5 weeks, these 3 weeks, very crucial. Winning a couple of games from the Braves feels very good. It might get more people to be motivated to look at this team as a contender in September. But long term, is that the best approach for a team that seemingly never wants to spend on pitching and has got some of these one-year deals sitting there. Again, Ryan Horvath, Bart Winkler. We bring in Andrew Wagner with the Associated Press, working hard yesterday in the press box at Miller Park to bring you the greatest baseball content around. Wagner, thanks for a couple minutes. Previously on the show, I read your article and passed it off as my own, and that's typically what I do every day. So thank you for your contribution, as always.
Hey, I do what I can. And why are you reading the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and talking about the Braves?
I don't want to read the Journal Sentinel or, like, Murray's piece, because then people are like, oh, I just read that. If I read the Visitor's take, because you wrote for the Atlanta Journal yesterday, if I read that take, nobody's looking at that stuff, so I can pass it off as my own. So, again, thank you very much.
Okay. Well, your creative work. Your creative work.
Yeah, it's a sound strategy, and I excel in it. The Brewers at 50 and 47. They're a team right now. There's a lot of teams bunched up in the wild card, and, you know, after the Giants series, you think, well, maybe this team should sell. After the Braves series, you think maybe this team should buy. What does David Stearns need to do in these next couple of weeks when he's trying to look at, we want to be a contender this year. We don't want to sacrifice next year or the year after. We also want to win next year and the year after. How do you see this trade deadline playing out with where the Brewers stand right now, Andrew?
I think they expect the unexpected, like always. David Stearns has always zigged when everyone else zags. He's a pretty smart guy. He's gonna look for the best deal available. That's what's going to come down to. It might not be a deal that makes sense on the surface, but when you sit back and look at it from the big picture, it'll go, oh, okay, hey, maybe he does know what he's talking about. All right. I don't know. I don't think he knows if they're going to be buyers or sellers yet. He said earlier this week that this is going to be a kind of an important stretch for them to determine what they do. But you kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, he's going to look for something that might not immediately have dividends, but is definitely something that can pay off in years to come, because again, the goal is to be a contender every single year.
And Andrew, anytime anybody brings up the deadline, it's always, well, do you get relief pitching, a guy like Will Smith, or do you go after a starter like Madison Bumgarner, or insert name there? But is there any possibility maybe they bring in both, a starting pitcher and a relief pitcher? Do they have the, I don't know, prospects or anything to flip to maybe bring in both, or do you just see maybe one big move or just a couple small ones?
I mean, the possibility is always there. They definitely need help. I think relief is where they need the most help. And they're confident they have the starting horses, especially Gio Gonzalez comes back healthy and strong. Between him, I mean, they like depth, obviously, but I think they're more concerned with the relief corps because it's nowhere near what it was a year ago. And that group needs some help, because right now it's Josh Hader and everybody else, and that won't get the job done down the stretch.
Would you be shocked if maybe they added another bat or upgraded at shortstop? Do you think it's just going to be pitching? I know you kind of said expect the unexpected, but would you be shocked maybe if they upgraded at shortstop at this point?
I would be very surprised if they upgraded at shortstop, because, I mean, if you're going to do that, Mauricio Dubon is kind of the guy you want to put in there. You've got him for a reason. Mm-hmm. So that would be surprising, because I don't think they're ready to give up on Arcia just yet, unless he ends up being one of those guys that, you know, they move. Baseball trades are just going to be so weird now. I'm curious to see how those play out with the way free agency is shaking out. Like, are we going to see more baseball trades where it's not so much, you know, selling off established vets for prospects, but filling needs for needs? Are we going to see more of those now? So especially with the one deadline this year, that's kind of the thing that throws it all into a loop. Like, how different is it going to be this year with only one deadline?
I think if you look at where the Brewers are, and maybe this is the reason that they were so, as we talked to Andrew Wagner with the AP, maybe this was the reason they were so willing to get some of these one-year deals, is because they were flippable. And if you want to trade needs for needs, let's look at the Brewers in the infield. You've got Dubon, you've got Hira, who's playing great. Travis Shaw's playing better. Those guys are a part of your system for a while. If there's a team that can take Mike Moustakas, that's a one-year deal. If you don't think you're going to resign him, and then they can send back some relief back. I wonder if that's a thing, Andrew, that Stearns would be willing to do. Now, the clubhouse might be mad because they're all buddies with Moustakas. Fans would certainly be mad because it would be hard to understand. But if you're going to trade need for need, you could still sell off these one-year guys and be quote-unquote buyers. I really think that expect the unexpected phrase is a perfect way to look at it, Because I think, I think anything outside of Yelich or Hira, I think anything's on the table.
I would think so, too. I mean, Stearns has proven time and time again that he knows what he's doing. People were, you know, up in arms last year when they traded for Moustakas. Well, why are you trading for Moustakas? You could try to shut that move. Worked out pretty good. You know, why did you go out and sign Billy Chassin and didn't sign these other guys that are available? Well, that move worked out pretty good. Same thing this winter. I know people are still mad that he didn't go out and get a starter, but at some point you had to see what those three young kids had to offer. They had to get their chance. It didn't work out the way anybody hoped. But it's such a crapshoot. It's such a crapshoot, especially this year, especially with the Central Division. You can call it competitive or call it bad, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. They're not dominant. They're not running away with it. It's really not all that different from last year. So, yeah, I think they're going to be buyers. I don't think they're going to sell off assets and go into a quote-unquote rebuild for a year. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. What's more interesting to me, again, is what anyone's going to do, because you don't have August to kind of figure things out and shore up the roster, which I think Stearns likes those deals more, because you can sometimes get more influential help at a better cost than giving up a whole bunch of future prospects. Because, you know, if they go out and they want to make a big deal, the first people that anyone's going to ask for are Hira,
yeah,
or Dubon. And I don't want to part with those guys. I definitely don't want to part with
it
those
almost
guys.
Hurts them that they have Hira. Because it almost hurts them that they have Hira. Because
sometimes, yeah.
If they didn't have Hira, they'd say, oh, who's your best prospect? Lucas Ersig. Okay, we'll take him. He's your best. But if they go, who's your best prospect? And even though you can say Hira's not a prospect anymore, he's still, like, young. And so they can say, oh, well, if we don't have your top guy, then we don't want anybody. So sometimes I think that it almost hurts them.
Yeah, it could. It could. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It'll be fun. Get the popcorn. Get a refreshment. Click refresh on Twitter every 20 seconds and, you know, enjoy the ride.
I think that would – what is more likely here? I think that they need to acquire pitching, and they have for a while. Is it that Stearns doesn't want to give up some of the prospects it would take to acquire the pitching over the last few years? Or is it that Mark Attanasio doesn't want to pay for pitching because he's been burned so many times in the past?
I think it's a little of both, and you can't blame Mark. Listen, pitching is a bad investment. I mean, how often do free agent deals for pitchers work out? And how many times have they worked out in Milwaukee? I mean, you hear people rag all the time about Jeff Suppan, Matt Garza, Kyle Loesch. I mean, do you really want to go take that chance again? At the end of the day, Milwaukee still is a limited market. Miller Park, 3 million fans, whatever. It's still a limited market, and this is still a business. And just because the guy owns a team, he can't expect him to go spend $100 million on a guy to pitch for 4 years when he might only be good for one or two of those years. So I definitely think this is a hesitance on Mark's part to go out and pay for big-time pitching, and he was smart to avoid that last year. I mean, you look at what Chassin did compared to Arrieta. Arrieta was the only guy that had better numbers than him. But the rest of those guys, Lance Lynn didn't make the playoffs. Jake Odorizzi didn't make the playoffs. I mean, all those other guys that people are bantering about. Chris Archer did not exactly put up mind-blowing numbers. Even Quintana, when he's not pitching against the Brewers, looks pedestrian at best. You Darvish was hurt. So Mark was right to stay away from the checkbook for those guys. Who was really out there this year that would have been worth the money? There just wasn't that much out there. Maybe they could have gone for Keuchel. Maybe they did go for Keuchel, and he just said no. So I think there's definitely a hesitance, or I don't want to say hesitance, a reluctance, a cautious reluctance to spend big money on pitching, especially when you have three young guys who performed so well for you in a limited role last year. And yes, I think David is hesitant to part with some of those guys because, well, look, last year, the Brewers were in the Manny Machado hunt. They would have had to give up Corbin Burns to get him. All right, great. So you have Manny Machado in the lineup. But what did Corbin Burns do for you in September and October? You know, do you really want to give those guys up? They still have high hopes for him. Does that change now with what Corbin Burns has done? And does that change other teams' impressions of him? Is he still a valuable commodity to other teams? Again, it's such a crapshoot. You never know what other teams are going to covet and why and how. And you never know why teams are going to covet their own guys for specific reasons. So it's all about the fit. It's all about luck. It's all about a crapshoot. It's all about a draw. It's all about, you know, this is a game of chance.
Andrew Wagner, thanks for the show prep. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Yeah, I got to go get that tattoo. So thanks for helping me pick it out.
Yeah, what are you getting?
The Bart the.
Thanks, Wags.
See you, buddy.
Andrew Wagner joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. So maybe Mark Attanasio doesn't want to spend money on pitching. And we're asking you guys on Twitter today at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag CW Tickets. You can win 4 tickets to the State Fair. What's the dumbest thing you've ever spent money on? Nick Bodie earlier said golf clubs. Ryan Horvath said a guitar.
Yep.
What kind of guitar did you buy?
Electric.
Oh, don't you got to start with a...
acoustic?
Yeah.
I had an acoustic too, actually. Because...
how much you spend on the guitar?
No. The guitar was like, well, my dad bought it for me. So I guess it was actually his money.
Oh.
So I guess my dumbest gift would be the one I told you about to the ex-girlfriend. $300 for the iPhone that didn't call out, that just played music. But I think the guitar was over like $350, $400 or something like that. But my uncle had an acoustic that he had just given over. You know, so I would just like strum things.
Yeah.
I always made up in my head I could play Possum Kingdom by the Toadies because it was just... and I would just do that over and over and be like, yeah, no... Possum Kingdom by the Toadies.
I kind of see you as like a guy that would play a guitar barefoot in the quad.
No.
With really? Like a choker around his neck.
And then I'd put the guitar down and do some hacky sack with the boys.
Yeah.
With his shirt off in the quad. Like, hey, ladies, you like Jack Johnson? What's up?
Yeah, I rarely ever made it
like
to the
Jack
quad.
Johnson of the fan.
Or school, actually.
Make you banana pancakes, honey. Come on.
Yeah, I kind of see that.
I was a big Jack Johnson fan, too.
Mine was a gift I bought a high school girlfriend. The dumbest thing I ever spent money on was a gift that said, hugs and kisses, I love you forever, to a girl that I dated when I was 17. And you knew that it wasn't going to happen. Even when I gave her the gift, she said, Bart, we're not going to be together forever. What are you doing? Some of yours you could tweet in at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag CW Tickets. James says, once I bought sushi in the airport from a restaurant that served Mexican food. There was also... my ex-wife, who was a millennial. Man, millennials just really take it on this show.
Yeah, I
jeez.
I know.
Matt says, half the crap I bought for my first kid. Baby stores tell you that you need these things. I gave a lot of it away.
This is what I was telling you yesterday. All you need? Everybody's like, man, kids are expensive. No. Wives are expensive, and husbands probably, if you're my wife, are expensive. Kids are easy, but diapers are expensive. All you need if you have a baby... Diapers, and then there's this thing called a pack and play where your kid kind of just plays. Like,
yeah.
My kid slept in the thing. It's like a crib, and then it becomes like a little playpen. Pack and play diapers, that's all you need.
What about like toys and...
they never play with them.
What about like books?
My kid still doesn't play with his toys. He's got an iPad, that's it. Books, not... no, he ain't gonna be...
bathing stuff? We got him a book that you can take in the bath.
What do you think he's going to be reading out of the womb?
I don't know.
What is it, To Kill a Mockingbird? By
no, it's some...
reading some Harper Lee right now?
Lady about something.
No, I mean, you should maybe read the books, or your wife maybe read the baby books. I never did. But yeah, I guess you need like the bath, but I mean, yeah, no, diapers, pack and play.
DVDs and CDs. That's from Loveless.
Oh.
He says they just sit in my basement. There's apps where you can scan the UPC on the DVD. And you get like 12 cents for them.
That's it. I know.
But if you have a lot, it can add up to like $10, and it doesn't cost you anything to ship because the company will send you a printing label.
That's
we sold
sucks.
Like all of our DVDs for $12.
I know. I had this big collection. You know, you'd have like all the Scorsese films, then it'd go all the way down in alphabetical order to like the Big Lebowski. And yeah, I was just collecting dust because now everything's at your fingertips on demand. So I tried to sell them to this place, Disc Replay, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you $3.50.
See, I don't.
And this is like a 500 movie collection.
That's crazy to me because I'm like, I'm a big film guy and I have like, I think it's up to 250 something Blu-rays. It was 230 something, but I'm a big hard copy person because I want, when I want to watch it, regardless of internet speed, like I love having that high def 1080p version. The Blu-ray, I think Blu-rays are great. Digital music, yeah, I don't care about, you know, digital new music.
Blu-ray?
Do you not? Yeah, does nobody ever buy hard copies? Like, or the 4K? You don't like those either?
The last Blu-ray
they're like 25
I bought,
bucks for a movie.
I bought Baby Driver, and I've watched it once.
Really?
It's a great movie, but that's the thing. I just don't rewatch movies. I don't have any time anymore. I'm too busy betting first 500ers on the West Coast.
Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can win tickets to the State Fair. We'll have State Fair tickets again to give away tomorrow. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. All right, John. John's in Franklin. John, we talked the Brewers. They lose a couple to the Giants we want to sell. They beat the Braves a couple of times. Their first series win against a team not Pittsburgh in 2 months. Did that series convince you enough that it's bye time again?
I have no idea. this team, boy, honest to God, I just like to go. I'd like to go a night out with Craig Council and just set a bottle of whiskey on the bar, and later on in the night find out exactly where that brother's at, because I think he feels like I do. It's like, man, and that's what's going to define Stearns here, is what's going to go on in the next couple weeks. What it will, because ultimately, no matter what the prospect pressure is, what the monetary pressure is, he is the one that's going to be dealing whatever deals happen or don't happen. It's going to be up to him to make this thing either happen. And there's a level of me that has accepted it may not happen this year. I want it to, but after, you know, especially previous to the Braves series, there's totally been a level of acceptance that for whatever reason, this team doesn't seem to have the magic that it is kind of required for a deep playoff run that we saw last year. But it's not too late. Obviously, it's not too late. Honest to God, this is going to be it. What's going to happen before the deadline? And, you know, we've all crowned Stearns a genius, and we like a lot of his moves. But his tenure is going to be defined by what goes on here in the next couple weeks, I fully believe.
That's a good point. It is interesting. I think that Stearns, John, thanks for the call as always. I think Stearns does get a lot of praise, and he's made a lot of good moves. I mean, to identify Christian Yelich and to give up a package that's not immediately killing the Brewers, like Yamamoto's pitching and Isan Diaz looks like he's going to be good. I don't know what is up with Brinson, but to just the fact that he can identify Christian Yelich before he became Christian Yelich, I mean, that's like John Hammond drafting Giannis. That's like they did so many bad moves. But they were able to find that guy.
I know.
And that, like, outweighs everything, at least to me. And Stearns has had other good moves on top of it. There's been other moves that maybe haven't been good. But the Yelich thing by far blows away everything else out the water. And most of the time, yeah, these moves have been good. But I do wonder, that's why we asked Wagner, is Stearns trying to be more sustained success guy? Does he just look at this team and think, we're not good enough to win the series, so let's just keep building? Or is the owner saying, look, I'm all about winning, but I'm not paying for pitching doesn't work here, and I don't want to do it? Because how many times have there been aces or number one guys, let's just say, that have been available that the Brewers were quote-unquote in on, but they never get the deal done? If they wanted to get the deal done, one of these guys... Oh, but you don't know if Keuchel didn't want to play here. You don't know if this one of these guys that we've been talking about over the last 4 years would have been a Brewer if they wanted to make one of those guys a Brewer.
Yeah, and I think you fear almost also the like mid-season deadline trade, because especially for starting pitchers, it rarely ever works out. I mean, for every Justin Verlander, you look at Chris Archer, and you look at, I mean, Yu Darvish just yesterday won his first game at Wrigley Field. And so I just feel like it's a huge gamble, right? And you have to get rid of so many prospects, and then do you have team control? And then even I'm in the clubhouse yesterday, and we're talking with Dallas Keuchel, and it's like he's just mentioning how his stamina's not there right now and how he had to get through pitching through humidity. because he hasn't pitched in half of a season. So that's the other thing with some of those guys. And with Kimbrel, is you didn't know what they really had left. You were like, what's the knock on these guys? Why are they still on the board right now? Why aren't they pitching? Obviously, they were waiting for the money, and they wanted years on the contract, but I think there was more to it. So I think just as the GM, you just have to sit back, and you have to be really smart about every decision because you're not the Yankees. And look what the Yankees did last year. You bring in Sonny Gray. He was awful. You try to move him to the bullpen. He's awful. Gets a fresh start with the Reds, and now he's Sonny Gray again. I mean, he looks pretty good, but I just think it's a gamble, and I think it rarely ever works out. Chris Archer, Sonny Gray, that's two great examples last year.
Okay, Sonny Gray was an all-star.
Not last year.
Well, he is this year.
Last year, he got bounced to the bullpen in New York. But yeah, this year, he's been great. And I'm saying almost like when you get a fresh start, that's when we see these guys perform. Not so much that season, like deadline trade. Like with closers and relief pitchers, it's different. Like for Chapman with the Cubs a couple years back, or Johnny Cueto, every time he would get traded and go win a World Series. But it's just, and I'm with you, I think they do need to upgrade, but I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate of why maybe he hasn't made the move.
There's been moves already made that the Brewers could have done, and you say, well, you're not New York, you're not LA, but what are the moves that they made? New York got Encarnacion, Edwin Encarnacion, and say it for me, please.
Encarnacion?
Yes, thank you.
Encarnacion?
New York got Edwin Encarnacion for not much. Now, that's the bat that the Brewers don't need, but they were able to do that. The A's, Homer Bailey, say what you want about Homer Bailey, had a nice start yesterday for Oakland. He went for like their 20th prospect. The Red Sox got Andrew Cashner for a couple kids that play in Dominican Fall League.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate right there, because that's exactly what the Chicago Cubs did to get Chapman. That's exactly what the Cubs did to get Quintana.
To get Chapman, they gave up four dudes.
But what I'm saying, Torres, Eloy, who beats them every single time they play the White Sox right now.
Yeah, but the teams making trades now,
right.
The teams that have made trades so far haven't given up anything.
But just imagine giving up three potential all-stars for Jose Quintana. That's just what I'm just playing devil's advocate there. But I see what you're saying.
But what would have done for the Brewers like, last year if they had another guy go six, seven innings?
But what I'm saying is
what changed everything?
Like the Brewers have to like hold on to guys like Keston Hira, whereas the Yankees could trade their prospects because they know they'll have the money to spend in free agency, and they know deadline time. They could trade these prospects, bring in somebody to try to win just this year, and then next year they'll get another Stanton or another, you know, Judge. That's just the point I'm trying to make, is that while we say market size doesn't matter, unfortunately, it does.
No, it does, and I believe you that it does, and I won't argue that it doesn't, but the teams that have made moves so far in 2019 have not given up a lot to get those guys.
Right, right.
Now, is Andrew Cashner going to change the world? I mean, Homer Bailey, six innings, two runs yesterday. I was stunned. Yeah. I was stunned that at least for one day, worked out for the A's. But they're at least bringing in guys at a position of weakness, and the Brewers... Okay, what are we hoping for? Gio Gonzalez from his dead arm to come back and spell Adrian Hauser this weekend? Okay, I mean, okay. I mean, we'll see what happens with Gio. I don't have a lot of, I mean, his arm was dead.
I'm with you on the Cashner thing. I mean, especially if you're a professional bettor, he's won you more money this season than any other pitcher on the market, and that is on a terrible baseball team. So I feel like sometimes we look at the big names, like we're like, oh, did you hear Thor's on the market? You know, what? Let's say the Nationals aren't in contention. Are they going to sell Scherzer? That stuff's never going to happen, but you have to hit on, even on a Sonny Gray. Yeah, I mean, you got to take a gamble and you got to take a chance. I was really high on Chris Archer, so I guess I should just shut up. I was like, the Brewers need to make a move for Chris Archer. And the thing is, though, like, every once in a while, he looks like Chris. I don't know. It's just such a gamble at this point of the season. It really is.
Yeah, I want pitchers, man. I wasn't, you know, totally on the Chris Archer train because they did give up a lot up for him. And,
way too much, yeah.
Yeah, Glasnow, and then Meadows is already an all-star. But I wanted guys like Kevin Gausman. Frim's always coming at me. Oh, you wanted Archer. No, I didn't. I wanted Kevin Gausman. Who?
I feel like, and that's the other thing that goes in why teams aren't making the moves like they used to, especially at the deadline, is because when you see a guy like Keston Hira who gets called up and it's like, this guy's already a superstar. He just mashed four homers and had eight RBI in a week and a half. No, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying like now GMs and now the front office, you really have to be careful because these guys get called up and they perform right away. Like the Bryce Harpers, the Mike Trouts, the Chris Bryants winning MVPs at 23, 24 years old, whereas you don't have to wait for that anymore. So now it's like, man, we want to win, but we do want to sustain success.
I don't want to. I want to win.
I would take one World Series over sustained success for the next 20 years. Like, do you want to be the Marlins or the Giants who win it like every 3-4 years or win one and then rebuild? Or do you want to be the Braves of the 90s or the Cleveland Indians and like just hang around every year? Or do you want to be even the Dodgers? Like you go to the World Series every year, but then you choke. Yeah, do you want to lose in the NFC Championship game and have Ladarius Gunter trying to cover Julio Jones? Or do you want to be the Patriots? I don't know.
If I could have one World Series, I would take it if they suck for the next 20 years. And then you say, well, you want to root for a bad baseball team? You're telling me in this trade, not only do I get a World Series, which I don't think we're ever going to get at this point, not only do I get a World Series, but for the next 20 years, I don't have to get invested. I've got all that free time in the summer. I could possibly get a second job. I could spend more time with my loved ones.
Yeah.
Tickets are going to be cheaper, and I can get better seats and take my soon-to-be son to games.
Yeah.
And watch the good teams come to town. You're telling me for 20 years, I can have any seat I want for cheap and all this free time, and I get a World Series? Where do I sign up for that?
And the best part is nobody could ever talk crap to you or trash talk you ever again, because you could be like the Cubs fans. And like last year after game 163, you talk a little trash and you're like, well, yeah, and they just send you pictures of the World Series ring. Like Raptors fans this year. They're going to be brutal probably for the next decade, but they'll always be able to talk about this season.
Yeah.
When they won the NBA championship.
Yes.
Like you have an NBA title. Bulls fans are still living off 95, 96 when they won 72 games.
The Bears are living off 85.
I know.
Brewers fans are living off 82 when we didn't even win anything.
Our intern Toby over here who just walked in, big Nationals fan, all he has is that they were good for a couple years and had Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and they can't win a playoff series.
The Seattle Mariners with A-Rod and Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr., you never won anything.
Yeah, you sucked. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Yeah, no, I put like $4,000 on McElroy because I told my wife it was a sure thing. We had the kid coming, so. What is he at now? Oh, Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan, Ryan Horvath, Nick Bode. Chuck will be back on Monday. No. Rory McIlroy, though, is struggling. He had a quadruple bogey on the first hole, and this is supposed to be his course. Things did not get any better for him. He finished 8 over par. So now it's trying to make the cut.
Yeah.
And not trying to win this tournament. Your leader out in Northern Ireland is Shane Lowry, who is, if I'm good at identifying flags, from Ireland.
He is. He's Irish.
Okay, good.
Good call.
Yeah. He is 4 under. Alex Noren is 3 under, as is Webb Simpson, Sergio, Dylan Fratelli.
3 under.
And some other dudes. I'll learn to pronounce their names if they're there on Sunday.
As we go on, yeah. The thing about Rory, today's like one of those days where if you're a golfer, you wish that life came with a joystick and you could just hit reset. When you go off the tee out of bounds, it's hard to regroup after that. Say this as just somebody that's not very good at golf, though.
Right. Bodie, what did we miss today besides all that stuff?
All right, boys. First up, in an interview with Mark Stein of the New York Times, the NBA's Executive of the Year, Bucks GM John Horst said he feels pretty good about how free agency went this year. The exact quote was, "The summary of our free agency is we brought back everyone from our core with the exception of Malcolm," meaning Brogdon. "I don't want to call that a home run because I think we value Malcolm significantly and have a healthy understanding of what he meant to our team, but ultimately we feel good about where we're at." So should he feel this good about where the Bucks are at?
He should feel good about free agency because everyone that was a free agent, like unrestricted, he signed. The unrestricted free agent got traded by his owner. So I don't know. I mean, the team is worse than they were. Now they're still good enough to go to the finals and possibly win. I still think that. But they are worse than they were, and so that's bad. That's
a
negative mark.
Yeah, I feel like he feels good about free agency because you really didn't have to make any moves, though, to be the favorite in the East because everybody else went west, and Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn, and we won't see Kevin Durant this year. So I feel like he should feel
good. So you got worse, but the one team ahead of you also got worse.
Really worse.
And then the Sixers,
we don't know.
At best, I think they got even.
They got better defensively, but I mean, you still have Ben Simmons, who can't shoot.
You're still the favorite in the East.
You brought back Tobias Harris. Yeah, I mean, you're still the favorite in the East. Exactly.
You're the favorite in the East, but you didn't get any better. So, I mean, you can spin it however you want. Not a lot of teams in the East got better. Most of them got worse, which is why I like the Knicks to at least. Their over-under is only 27.5.
I'm going way under. I can't believe.
Under on 27?
Yeah, they're going to win 19 games this year.
No, no, no. Knicks. Hammer, hammer, hammer.
You should get a R.J. Barrett jersey.
I love the New York Knicks, and I love the San Francisco Giants.
Why are you so high on the New York Knicks? They have a starting five that consists of all power forwards. All they did in free agency was add power forwards. 6'8", 245-pound dudes.
Who's the point guard they got? I forgot the other name.
Julius Randle, I think, is going to run the point this year.
No. I like the Knicks.
You like the Knicks and the Giants?
Yeah, the Giants, ever since I liked the Giants, they haven't lost.
That should be in your bio.
Yeah.
Giants undefeated since I became
Peyton.
A fan.
Peyton. Alfred Peyton.
Oh, yeah. Former Orlando Magic great.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Dennis Smith Jr. We write him off?
Yeah, like 8 years ago, actually, we wrote him off.
Oh, jeez.
Mark Cuban wrote him off. I feel like what he said, though, I mean, yeah, I'm glad that they mentioned Brogdon, at least in the quote, though, because you can't say I'm really happy with what we did when you lost, one of the only guys that could create his own shot, but whatever.
Nick Bodie.
All right, boys, speaking of free agent signings, Christian Wood, former Bucks legend, was picked up off waivers by the Detroit Pistons.
I think they just cut Tim Frazier. Is that true?
The Pistons?
Already?
My buddy texted me, down goes Frazier. Because they had Tim Frazier, Tony Snell, and Thon Maker.
They're not walking in. Or they're not
Christian Wood.
None of these guys are going to be on the team opening night. Man, what are the Pistons? That's a team where you just get the new arena and all you want to do is make the playoffs as a 7-8 seed. And you just want to put people in the seats because they have no actual plan. So many bad contracts. Drummond, Blake Griffin. I mean, you got Derrick Rose on a discount, I guess, but yikes.
Yeah, Pistons are no good.
No.
Bodie?
Last one, Frank Kaminsky to the Suns. He's going to be wearing number 8 for Phoenix. Thoughts on how he'll do? Good, bad, eh?
I got a hot take.
Oh, good. Please don't say, like, most improved
Bring
player.
Bring it on. Sorry, Bodie.
What's up?
I am not a Kaminsky guy.
Okay.
He's from Illinois.
He's a Sox fan.
I think he loves the Dan Dockage fight as much as Dockage does, and he plays it off. I'm not a Kaminsky guy.
Are you a Decker guy?
I'm more of a Decker guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite fouls on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm a Decker guy, not a Frank guy.
I gotta love Frank the Tank, though.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're back tomorrow. Bill Michaels show up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.